Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Major Applewhite going to join us here. We believe big game, big man, another 57 spot.
They beat USF, who had not lost a game.
They weren't.
Like, you're talking about a different school.
They won a national championship last
no,
year.
No, UCF won the national title.
Yeah, UCF.
They had a parade.
UCF did.
Oh, that's the Charlie Strong team, yeah. You see Charlie freak out on the sideline on his... Something happened where somebody wasn't out on a field or something, and he got in his assistant coach's face and gave him what I like to call the what for, and the coach just has to sit there and just take it. Like, there's nothing you can do. You just have to... Listen to your brow. Just take the brow beating that the head coach gives you, and then literally, U of H on the very next play scores a touchdown. Derek King has that long touchdown run where he had the spin move, and there is Houston. You think about this. I mean, when is other than Tony Levine's year? It just goes from Art Briles to Kevin Sumlin to Tom Herman to Major Apple, and Major's picking up where those guys left off. Last year was, I would say, a good, not always great year for Major. This year, he's really got it rolling. He's really feeling himself, and I think Major's turning into a really good head coach. Major's supposed to join us. He's not on the line. But I think Major's turning into a really good head coach.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't know where it's going to go or what's going to happen, but a big reason for that is Kendall Briles.
Oh, there's no question.
Kendall Briles is he's a Briles offensive mind. And guess what happened when all of the crap aside, and the bad things that happened. And
football.
Just football-wise.
Right.
Just football-wise, the Briles are...
Well, look what they did. They
are offensive geniuses.
Well, Baylor was...
Listen, they're averaging 50 points a game. Their low total this year is 41.
41?
Okay. 41 points. They had a 41 and a 42. And they're averaging 49.75 points a game. It's going to be interesting to see because Phil Bennett got a job with Arizona State as defensive coordinator.
Right.
Kendall got the job here. There was a little bit of smoldering, little underbrush fire going on over here. There's some guys, Fred and Jong, won't go to a U of H game. They're U of H guys, and they won't go to a game because of the Kendall Briles hiring. I haven't heard much of that. But it'll be interesting to see because Phil Bennett doesn't have the Briles name.
Phil's
with the
gone,
Briles man. Name.
Yeah, Phil's already gone from Arizona
State. Yeah, but he got the job.
Yeah, but he wasn't directly tied. Kendall's name was tied to somebody.
Well, his name is Briles.
Well, yeah, which made it even more surprising.
But there were defensive players that were involved in this, and you can't tell me that Phil Bennett wasn't.
I don't know. To be honest with you, Phil is football coach. He's not. I never heard Phil Bennett's name tied to any. Kendall's name was in some.
If you read that, Phil Bennett's name, everybody's. It was tied to it. He was absolutely. You can't tell me that the defensive coordinator. Whatever. Well, I don't know. None of us really know exactly what happened. But Phil Bennett was also.
Well, he was a coach.
But his name. But the difference is his name is Briles. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's going to be that much more difficult for Kendall, while Kendall is a freaking offensive genius. I mean, this dude can call plays. There are some guys that are just they see the defense. They just have an unbelievable knack for calling plays to beat defenses, to take advantage of mismatches. When we asked Major about, well, what about, you know, running this play? Well, who's on what guy? I don't know. What is it too deep? Is there a small corner against a big receiver? Yeah, these are all things that you have to know when you're calling plays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just let's just run what we run. I don't care what defense you're in. I don't care what personnel is on the field. That plays into it. And some guys are just really – and some guys don't even get – we're going to run what we run. It doesn't matter what defense you're in and all of this stuff. Kendall Briles, that ain't the case. We got a mismatch. We're going to take advantage of it.
And he's not the first one to do this. Lots of people.
But I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's the first one. I'm saying he's really good at it.
No, well, what it is when I used to watch Baylor tape on these wide receivers, right? Corey Coleman, and I can't even remember all the guys' names. Like, they've had a bunch of guys. And so I'd watch tape, the game tape. And you know how many times there'd be four wide receivers, and one guy's running, the guy on the right, would be taking off down the field. Guy in the slot takes one step and stops. The other guy in the slot in the left slot takes one step and stop. And the guy in the left sideline is taking off running. And it's literally like, okay, we're going to make a safety decide how they're going to play this. But they're also picking on certain players. And you think about this. When you go to the pros, everyone's going to be able to play. Now, there's certainly great variance between how good one guy is, how good one player cornerback is over another cornerback. You go to college, and the difference can be absolutely substantial.
Oh my God, yeah.
How much difference a number one corner versus a number three or four corner. Remember, they got four guys out there and around, so they're getting to your third and fourth corners. We're talking about guys who might be two-star prospects who are smaller, not as fast. And so what Art Briles used to do with Kendall is basically say, why are we just going to run an offense? Why don't we pick on the worst players? Let's just get the best matchups, which is no different than the analytics approach in basketball, where they say, we're going to run the high screen and rolls until we get the right switch
that we want.
That's what we're going to do. It's the same, and that's analytics, by the way.
That's right. That's the same with pitcher versus batter.
Yeah.
It's matchup.
What is the best matchup?
That's right.
And Gary Kubiak, what he would do is say, and look, he cared about matchup, but mostly he would say, let's just execute. This is our offense, let's execute. So when a team made a change defensively against him, he couldn't really counter as effectively in game because everything was based on execution and production of, you know, from the execution that you have and personnel groupings. The spread offense, what it does is it forces inferior players, at least theoretically, to have to make plays in space. So not only are you matched up on somebody who might be better than you, especially if they try to match them up, they're going to force you to make tackles or make athletic plays in space as well. So it's not just that you physically don't match up. Now you also have to make a tackle or cover over a long period of time on the field. And it's just – and Kendall Briles is it's not just Kendall. I mean, it was Art. It's this offense understands – we're going to find the weakness, and we're going
to
exploit
your weakness. But you still have to it's this offense, and yeah, we're going to exploit it. You still have to have an ability, an innate ability as a play caller. I'll tell you this. There's a guy that was the Kincaid coach over here, Steve Hill. He left. He went to Pius, and he actually was made Grant Gunnell, you know, what he is today because he – He is so unbelievably. Now he's at Texas
Grant
State.
Grant Canales, the like number one quarterback.
Yeah, he's going to Arizona. He's going to play for Summy and Noel Mazzone. But he is absolutely the best I've ever seen at just taking. He would say, this guy's going to be, you know, let's run this. And in a second, in a split second, and this guy is going to be open. And it's there is a talent. There is a talent to it. And the Bryles have it. All the other crap aside, all of that other stuff aside, football-wise, hey, Baylor was good. Not good. They were nationally ranked. Baylor, before and after Bryles. I mean, the Bryles were there. What? Look at them. Look at that program. Mm-hmm. I don't. Matt Rhule is a good coach. He can't overcome Baylor.
No,
Art Bryles is the only guy since Mike Singletary that can overcome Baylor.
Well, give Matt Rhule some time. Matt Rhule went in there like I know, a bunch of players took off. And yeah. No, recruiting Baylor, it's going to take a while. I was shocked Matt Rhule took that job. I was just like, man, you got some balls to take the Baylor job right now.
Well, right.
And Matt Rhule's
kind
of a hot name.
Right. It was like
the Colts interview.
It was kind of like the Penn State, only without the Penn State tradition. You know, taking over that.
Yeah.
What Bill O'Brien did. It is ballsy to take over a program like that.
And they've been more competitive this year.
Yeah.
Baylor gave you a good game this year. I think Matt Rhule's pretty highly regarded. But
sometimes. I mean,
is this Major right here? Let's bring Major in right now. Major Applewhite, head coach of the University of Houston Cougars, comes in. We've been talking a little bit about you, about Kendall Bryles. We talked about the desire for Matt Rhule to go take on the Baylor job, which is a tough job, but he's a good coach. And we've been talking about a lot of things, but John and I really focused on, you know, and we covered this with you before, but you guys are hitting about 50 points a game, and it's really not rocket science. I mean, we watch Gary Kubiak here run, this is our system, we're going to execute it, we're going to run plays out of multiple personnel groups, make them look different, but the concepts are similar, and we went out to execute. And you guys and other systems that are out there as well, you basically say, it's a game of matchups. And if you're a weak link, we're going to try to make you quit college football today because we're going to really try to take advantage of you on the other side of that ball. And at the end of the day, aren't all sports based on trying to find favorable matchups?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of one-on-one matchups. You know, that's what we talk to our guys about during the week in terms of just the preparation for those guys. In their mind, who am I going to face all day, whether it's a three technique or a corner or a wide receiver, if I'm a linebacker trying to tackle a certain type of back or, you know, safety playing against a certain type of quarterback, you know, what do I have to do to win my one-on-one matchup throughout the week in terms of how I study for them, my pad level, where my eyes are, all those things. How do you win your one-on-one matchup? So you go out there and as a coach, you try to attack their scheme, but you also try to attack players where you feel like you have a favorable matchup and have enough stuff in your offense or defense to get that guy one-on-one as much as you can. And it sounds easy, but it's difficult and it can be hard, but you know, that's our jobs and that's, you know, how you try to attack victory.
And I was just saying how Kendall just the Bryles, they're just offense. Their offensive minds are just, it's unbelievable how good they are.
Absolutely. It's been fun to watch how aggressive and bold and, you know, and that feeds into the players and the way they perform and what they believe in and the confidence that they go on the field with. And even times where we have been slow and there has been times where we've been slow, but those guys continue to have confidence and know that they're going to fight themselves out of it quickly.
But you still got to execute and you still got to have the guy pulling the trigger. And it looks like Derek has taken last couple of weeks, huge, huge step. Not that he was bad before this, but man, is he on fire.
Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's a player's game. I mean, make no mistake about it. Those are the guys out there in the arena, on the dirt, playing. And those are the guys that have to be better than the other guy. And you can have all the scheme and have all the things you want. If you don't have good guys out there playing in your uniform, you're not going to win many games. So we've got some good players, and we need to keep getting great players. And there is a bunch of great players in the city that we're going after, but we need to continue to have those great players like D'Eric, you know, like Courtney Lark, you know, guys right from here in the city that have done great things. Ed Oliver, Gerard Carter, Mickey Bule, Josh Jones, all of them right within 25 miles of this campus. We got to have great players like that year in, year out. You know, I love coaches. I am a coach, but let's be honest, you got to have great players.
Jimmy's and Joe's, that's no joke. I mean, you got to have them. to go along with your X's and O's. Where I was talking to some Cougars last night at a party, and we were talking about how, you know, Houston quietly has put together some really good talent over the last several years, and not just Ed Oliver, but there's been a lot of cornerbacks and to come out of there. Your defense a couple of years ago featured guys like Landon Roberts and Brandon Wilson. Fantastic. You know, we got William Jackson the year before that, Howard Wilson. I mean, you guys have been able to keep some of the local talent or some of the talent from Texas in town, but you have to. You have that's your, you know, that's your lifeblood. You got to.
Yeah, I mean, a deep look into our roster, you know, obviously you're going to see just geographically people within 60, 80 miles, you know, of our campus, and that's going to be, you know, a solid 60, 70%. Then you're going to have East Texas, Dallas, some from Central Texas, maybe a few from Louisiana. But, you know, when you take a deep look at our roster, we've had some great guys sign in the last 3-4 years. The depth of our recruiting classes haven't been very good, nor is the retention. So we've got to, you know, find the right 25. Now that the NCAA rules allows you to only sign 25, you can't oversign anymore. So the names of Keith and Courtney and D'Eric and Ed are great at the top, but it's the other 21 guys in your signing class that truly defines what a class is. So we've got to put together some great classes and build. We've obviously got a game this weekend against SMU, but you got to keep winning and develop that winning tradition and get great players, develop depth in your roster.
I want to point out a play. So on the quarterback draws a third down, and does the quarterback draw the one for the touchdown? And, I mean, that was a classic case to me of it's got to be blocked up. Sometimes you got to block it up, and then you got to create for yourself. And you had your left guard and your left tackle just cave in their side. And then D'Eric made a guy – he shook off a tackle. He made a guy miss. He hit him with a spin move, and it was to the house. And it was a perfect example of it really does to have those chunk plays that you guys have. You have to make some of it yourself, but you got to get it created for you. You know, you have to have some blocking up front as well. It's a combination of events, and I thought that play just perfectly encapsulated, and it really broke that game open. I felt like it took all the wins out of USF sail.
Yeah, I mean, it was that play right there and the interception that Watkins had in the end zone were the two game-changing plays for us last week. And, you know, give credit to you know, Coach Bryles. Again, I mean, it's a fourth down call. We want to be aggressive and go for it. We know what kind of game it's going to be in terms of scoring because of their explosiveness on offense. But, you know, whose hands do you want the ball to be in? You know, well, our quarterback. And then, you know, your offensive line does a great job. And then it gets to a certain point where, you know, he's probably going to be tackled before the chains, and that's why you give it to great players, because they make great plays in those situations, and he did an outstanding job for us all day, not just that play.
SMU, Ben Hicks this week, good player, and their record isn't all that tutti-frutti, but that they're playing some good, hard football.
Well, it's how have they been playing lately? You know, I don't care how they played in September. We're in November right now, so it doesn't matter how they open the season. You know, we did some things in September we don't want to remember either. We're not that team either. So, you know, where are we now in the last 2 weeks? And in the last 2 weeks, they went down, they beat Tulane in New Orleans. That was a place where Memphis got beat earlier this year. It's a place where we lost last year. So that's an impressive win. Then they play a one-loss Cincinnati team to overtime and almost beat them at home this last week. So they're playing really good football right now. So who have they lost to? All right, they lost to number 6 Michigan. They lost to number 12 Central Florida. They've lost to a one-loss Cincinnati, a one-loss North Texas, who played for their conference championship last year, and then they lost to TCU. So it's not like they've lost to bad teams. So that's what we've been telling our guys, John, and understand it's a big game. They've got to finish out with 3 out of the next 4 wins to go to bowl games. So you're going to get their best shot. It's November, so you know our guys have had that in their mind all week.
Does it matter? I mean, obviously, I know a lot of the fan base is excited about a 17th ranking, and the AP has you in the 17th ranking, and yet the College Football Playoff Committee ignores you. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, the coaches' poll, it's respect, because those are guys that, you know, are in it and watching the games and, you know, a part of it. But at the same time, the whole College Football Playoff and you know, really all of it, our guys, we're going to practice. We're getting ready for a game. We're getting ready to go play at 6. They understand that's for the fans. That's for the spectators. And, you know, it's just stuff that's out there for people to talk about. And our guys keep the main thing the main thing, and that's why it's so fun to be around this group.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Coach, we certainly wish you the best of luck. It was good seeing you guys take care of business last week and then this week. You do have SMU can get a little feisty, so I know a lot of people are kind of writing this off. A lot of Cougar fans might think this is an easy one, but I would not do that. That's never a smart thing to do at all against any opponent. But SMU's got a couple guys that can play too, so you gotta take them seriously, which I know you are.
Hell yeah! I mean, it's every weekend. I don't know how many times people have to see things in college football and turn on the ESPN and see some wow, you know, shockwaves across college football tonight. I mean, how many times do you have to see it? You know, that's what we talk to our guys about enough. I mean, well, you pay attention. Everybody gives scholarships, and everybody has good coaches.
You got a target on your back now. The Cougs have a target on their back. You're the team that people want to beat in conference, too.
Yeah, so that's great motivation to go out there and, you know, get better at what you got to do and, you know, go on the road for a night game in conference. Those are fun. Those are fun opportunities, fun environments.
That's Major Applewhite right here on ESPN 97.5. Right, go Cougs.
Y'all have a good one. Take care. Go Cougs.
I told you, go Cougs.
You knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. I knew Go Cougs was coming. Told you. What'd I tell you? All right. 713-780-3776, the number to hang on.
We're way late.
Yeah, well.
We'll just combine breaks. How about that?
We're going to have to combine because.
We'll combine breaks. I've got what I think should be a remix. When we get back, I want to get you and John's thoughts on something that I think needs to happen. And we could be at the forefront of this. It could be, this could be the next big viral thing, and we could be the start of it right here. So I'll bring it up when we come back. Also want to get to Dallas Keuchel. I promise that. There's some commentary on his free agent status and what could end up happening there. So we will do that as well. Did you do your Thrive thing?
I didn't drink any yesterday. I didn't drink yesterday. Okay. I didn't partake. Now, the night before, I went to the Rockets game. And then you just throw down three Thrive before you go to bed. Bing, bing, bing. Did I seem hung over to you guys yesterday? No. You know why? Thrive. You know why?
I don't know. You did mention Red Weenie, so I'm not sure.
Well, that
if you were imbibing yesterday.
No, I wasn't imbibing. I said Red Weenie. I said I can say Red Weenie without being hung over, right?
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I know. I know all about it. What I think is this. I know, as a matter of fact, I don't think it. It's guaranteed. If you don't feel 50% better after you take your Thrive Plus before you go to bed, then they're going to give you your money back. And I'm going to tell you this. They're not giving you your money back because you're going to feel 50% better. I don't know how you come to that conclusion. They do. See, they're really, really smart. There are five PhDs and Ivy League scientists that developed this. They know a lot more about the human anatomy than you or I. All I know is I feel better. and that's all they care about. You feel better after you take Thrive Plus. If you have a few drinks the night before, you take Thrive Plus, you feel better the next day. Okay? You will feel better than if you didn't take Thrive Plus. Let's put it that way. So if you're looking for a great way to not have that hangover, you want to work, you want to be productive, Thrive Plus. DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:30 ESPN 97.5. Sorry about the long break, but we had to combine them because Major was late. How about the coaches late? We got, you know what? Maybe fine. Maybe he's going to have to miss the first quarter of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. He came in late.
Well, Texas tried that, and they got 260 yards of passing put on him. I'm not sure you want to do that.
Well, like that. So did apparently the Patriots were going to try it with Josh Gordon, but then decided not to.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, which it's weird because I feel like they could fade that for a quarter. Who did they play this last week?
The Bills. Who it was a 6-point game going to the fourth quarter.
I feel like you could have made a statement against the Bills. Yeah. Like, but we won't put up with this, no. Josh.
No.
But they also know that Josh is, look, it's a codependent relationship. Josh gives him a, Josh gets another chance in the league again. And Patriots get a guy that can make a lot of plays. And I think the Patriots are like, let's just keep him happy. We'll use him for a year, 2 years at most, and then we'll get rid of him like Randy Moss. We know how this works.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get the most out of our guys that we can. When they get to be a problem, we'll just dump them. It's not that big a deal. All right, so this is an idea that I think. So, you know, Baby Shark.
Mm-hmm.
Dell was playing it. It's viral. If it gets in your ear, Dell, play a little bit of it just so it's an earworm. I know people are going to yell at us and say ugly things on Twitter because you're having to hear it. But I need it played so you understand where I'm going with this for you. Okay. But there's a remix that I think should be made. And if we have anybody smart enough that can do this, okay. It's got that little EDM beat to it. Dun, 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 dun. And then you get, and it got me thinking, What if somebody did like Sansa Stark do 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 do, and they did video cutaways to Arya Stark do, and they did it with Starks instead of Baby Shark. We just did Starks before Game of Thrones started up. I feel like if we had somebody do, and Frank and Chance can do songs easily, and we have talented listeners as well, and then we get cutaways to Sansa Stark or the different Starks. Bran Stark, dude, and it's just him just sitting there in a wheelbarrow doing nothing like he usually does.
People can see you now.
I don't care. Kill Bran Stark off. Hurry up. He's the worst. I wish he would have died when he fell out of that big tower.
No one would know that. I know he's important. Is an actual Targaryen. There's a point to Bran.
I know he's important. I just, you know,
he's not important to me. Every time I went to the bathroom every time he was on.
Yeah,
he just lays around.
Then you missed him revealing
big,
things.
Yeah, there was pretty big stuff.
I didn't really care.
There was pretty big stuff.
I just want to see Red Wedding over and over again.
Hold the door now when we get to find out what that was. Guess who told us that?
Bran. And we found out that Spoiler John is alert. Not a bastard anymore.
That who?
John's not a bastard.
Yeah,
we found that because of Bran.
Yeah, but he's also doing his cousin, right?
Well, no, his aunt.
Aunt. That's
oh,
right.
That's yeah. Okay in their time. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Look. Yeah. Look at the...
Wait, who's his aunt?
Daenerys.
That's what I thought.
Sister to his father.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets a little confusing, like Westworld is like, oh, can y'all slow down, Westworld? This is getting too confusing. That can happen a little bit too with this one, but I still feel like if you can do a Stark instead of Shark, I think that could get really big.
That would get big.
I don't think we can make
Chance
a bunch of money.
That.
But I feel like somebody can do that.
His voice sounds like that. Play the Baby Shark again.
Cutaways.
Baby Shark.
You gotta
Chance
do the
things like that.
You got to do the cutaways, you know, to different stuff from the different.
That's Chance's voice.
I don't feel like that's Chance's voice. But you could get somebody to sing. You could get a little kid to sing that. You can get a woman to sing that. It would be huge.
On the press run, when the show finally comes back, the summer 2019, HBO should put this together. Throw them all in there and have them do this on the press run.
They really
should.
Right,
and then they go hunting, right?
Yeah.
And you see them killing everybody.
And the scared fish are the Lannisters hiding.
Right.
Please don't kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Ned Stark, dude. And you see him being beheaded.
Or
Ned Stark. Oh,
or
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, hey.
Well, season
one. Or the Starks are afraid of the, and it's, no, I don't want to see the White Walkers as like these lovable things in a stupid video. I don't, because.
No.
There would be the Starks hiding and
just
the White Walkers coming
after.
Only
the Starks.
Yeah.
Right. That was the Ned Stark beheading was like, oh my.
Shock. Like, oh, this
It really was, but this ain't like regular shows.
No. First it was Bran got kicked. First it's like, and everyone says the same thing. God, it's so boring. Episode one is so boring. And then the kid gets, and then like, hey,
those brothers and sister
are doing it. And they just kicked the kid out of a castle. Like,
and not just like, oh, it was a very casual. He didn't even look at him. He goes, he shoves him out the window. He wasn't even looking at him.
No, the very end of that, it made me say, okay, maybe I need to stick around for the next episode. They're like, I am Ned Stark. My head got chopped off. Like, wait a minute. What is happening with this show? That was a major... I've seen him on lots of stuff. This guy's a real actor.
Yeah, he's not a random.
No.
This can always tell if a guy's going to survive in an alleged death scene. Oh, I've seen this guy in multiple things. He's not going anywhere. Sean Bean dies in a lot of his roles. He dies
in Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah, you nerdy Lord of the Rings fan. You remember him. He dies a lot.
He does.
Yeah, but he's a major character. Like, that one was a shock where I was like, this is, just like John said, that's when you realize this show might be a little different. They're just killing people in this show. And then all of a sudden, you know. Well the Red Wedding is, that's not all of a sudden, but once they did Red Wedding, no, I realized nobody's safe.
Didn't Twitter break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
During Red Wedding?
It's the one regret I guess I have from reading, because I watched people react, mm-hmm. even though I knew what was going to happen. It was still crazy. Yeah, but Twitter broke.
Have you ever done Red Wedding reaction videos on YouTube? You need to watch that. I remember when I watched it, I was in the bedroom with my wife. We both saw it, and we were like, I had the feeling in my stomach the same as when Buffalo came back against the Houston Oilers, or when North Carolina State got that dunk against the Houston Cougars in Fi Slamma Jamma, or when Damian Lillard hit that three against the Rockets. It was just like, I couldn't breathe. It was like a playoff loss, like a sudden playoff loss. Like, what has happened? Why are they doing this? These are bad people. Nobody is safe anymore. When are they killing the little girl? You just figure anybody can be murdered at any point. And then they chilled out after Red Wedding. It's not as many just random killings.
Well, not random, but then we had Jon Snow being stabbed in the back by
But then he came back.
And then they bring him back. I'm like, they're not about that life now.
But she gave him a haircut, so that brought him back to life.
She brushed his hair. Washed
him, massaged
him.
No, something else happened in the book, though, right? It didn't go down like that, right?
After the Red Wedding, Jon's wife isn't actually there.
Yeah, she's a bad guy.
No, not Jon's wife. Rob's wife.
Rob Stark's wife is part of the
alleged betrayal or not, so we're not sure about that. And also in the books, Catelyn Stark, the mom, gets reanimated, and she's called Lady Stoneheart. She wreaks revenge on everyone who perpetrated stuff on her family.
Would you have liked that better? Did you like Catelyn Stark just being dead, or did you want her to come back and get reanimated?
Oh, so she wasn't killed in the Red Wedding in the books?
No, she was, but in the books, she's brought back by the brothers, the ones who were...
The
Lord of Light.
Eye patch.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, brother?
And she wrecks havoc?
Yeah.
I'd rather her be dead.
In the last book that was written, which feels like a decade ago, this guy's doing everything but writing the thing people care about. In the last book, she's about to hang Brienne and Pod because she thinks they're Lannister sympathizers. That's where the book ends. Like, they have the nooses around their neck.
I like her being dead.
Like, Brienne and Pod are about to die.
I like her being dead. And because it makes us feel like, man, the Red Wedding was the craziest. Yeah. Now, Jon Stark coming back, you couldn't just kill off Jon Stark.
No.
But it did. It was a little like, man, it just feels like they could bring anybody back now. This is like soap operas.
They've only brought back one.
Yeah, I guess it was just Jon Stark so far. I'm so hyped on this. Nothing's been disappointing. Oh, I can also say when that one ice dragon rolled back out and like, as soon as they were dragging that dragon out, just like, oh, man, this has ruined my whole week. And then as soon as he made an appearance, like some wrestler who had turned into a bad guy, is just like, oh, this is the worst.
How are we going to win now?
Now this is the
worst. I don't
even
know who we're rooting for, though, if you want to know the truth.
What? What are you talking about?
Who are we rooting for?
What are you talking about? You're rooting for Jon Stark and you're rooting for...
Jon Snow, you blasphemer.
Oh, yeah, whatever. He was bad.
And now Aegon Targaryen.
I might be rooting for the Lannisters. I don't know.
Well, the Lannisters...
Well,
the thought is some people...
You're kind of on the same team,
Well, not really, but we'll see. Some people believe...
Against the White Walker?
Some people believe the White Walkers are actually the good guys.
Like, what? Who believes this?
They're cleansing the world of all these a-holes.
Yeah.
In the world.
There is that. No.
Who believes that?
Well, we don't know the background.
There's bad people on both sides. Both sides. There's some really good people on both sides, too.
And we know the White Walkers aren't duplicitous. They have one goal, to kill.
See? So at least that was what you learned from our president.
It's good. There's good people on both sides.
No, as opposed to that guy that got arrested last week because he grabbed her by the hoo-ha because the president said it was okay.
I did not see that guy.
On an airplane. He groped her on an airplane. Yeah. The president said it's okay.
I feel like that's a guy making a point. Going to jail just to make a political point.
I don't know. Or maybe he's just... At least that's what you learned from our president. There's good people on both sides.
There's plenty of good White Walkers, too. Okay.
And, speaking of that, talk about the history of the White Walkers. There is a prequel coming out, and the first name actor to be released, Naomi Watts. She's going to be in a Game of Thrones prequel.
Is she?
Oh, I saw that yesterday. Nice. That's what that meant. It's a Game of Thrones prequel?
Yeah, we're going to find out about what the world was like before... like.
Well, of course we are. We have just to. Like Harry Potter. Man, we got all, yeah, wonderful, so we, fantastic.
After all
beasts
we've gone
something.
Through with Game of Thrones, are we going to be able to hang in for the? You will, oh,
everybody.
Del.
Star Wars. This is what you do to I make know, you keep I, making money, Lance.
I don't keep watching Star Wars stuff. I go with my wife. Every
oh
once
well,
in a while.
The nerds do.
I know.
Ask
I
Chance
never,
what he's doing today. Probably
the nerds.
He called. The
Wait a minute. You watch the Hop. You like the Hobbit.
There is no prequel. Okay, not nerdy.
Wasn't The Hobbit the prequel?
Yeah, I think
no. The Hobbit was the first book out.
Yeah, but they made movies out of it. Like there's a written history of Game of Thrones. They're just expounding on it now.
There's no written history.
Yes, it is. They've written stuff about before Game of Thrones.
Well, I'm sorry. It's a bunch of nerds.
You're a nerd.
No,
you can cite Thorne Oakenshield stuff.
Star Wars.
Lord of Rings nerd is not very much different.
Well, when Ned Stark was Boromir. Then,
yeah, see?
Or Faramir, I forget which one
I
he was.
It's Fair. No, brother. I think Faramir was the other one.
Yeah, I forget which one it was. One of the brothers.
Yeah, you're a nerd for Lord
not,
of the Rings.
Not a nerd. No, that's not nerdy.
Yes,
Lord
it
of the
is.
Rings is cool.
Oh, it's nerdy. Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, all in the same
no,
realm of nerd.
That is not nerdy, okay? Star Wars, nerds.
In fact, I think a hipster nerd is Game of Thrones. All Lord of the Rings and Star Wars is just full out nerd.
Yeah, and that's hipster nerd?
Yeah, Game of Thrones is hipster.
All right, 842 ESPN 97.5.
Weren't we going to talk about Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah, we just did.
Thanks, Lance.
Well, he's got a beard Dallas like one of those wildlings. Well,
no.
He's got a wild, but he's got a very manicured wildling look. Like, well, I was a wildling, but now I'm a little
I'm
bit
a metro
of a
wildling.
Metro wildling, yeah. Do you like the way my eyebrows look? And then that redhead lady would just be like, you're a disgrace to all of us. You know nothing, Dallas. You know nothing about pitching.
And then Lance McCullers, the Wolfman, comes over.
He's manicured, too.
A manicured Wolfman. That dude has got.
Yeah, he's on point.
He's
got. He's got this tightened up.
Mm-hmm.
The face game is tightened up. Hair game, all of it.
You know who else? Tight. Well, he is. He's unbelievable as Yuval. Yuval and Lax are doing things over there.
You stupid White Walker. Come here to get a night's sleep and see if you want to kill the whole world.
Yuval might say that.
Yuval won't say that.
What he sounds
Yuval
like. Might,
that's not what he sounds like.
He doesn't.
No.
Sometimes.
No. He says, come on over.
Come on.
Come on
goes,
over.
And you want to. You can't get a good night's sleep. Lay on this mattress and you'll get a good night's sleep. He wouldn't say that?
That he would say.
Yeah.
That Yuval would say.
Yuval's the best.
Yuval is the best. He is a great guy. And you may meet Yuval. Lax is going to take care of you as well. All the great people over there, Texas Mattress Makers. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter who's taking care of you over there. You're going to get the best bed, the best sleep at the best price. That's what you're going to get every single time. Like half price. It's ridiculous how low they go over there. And they got an unbelievable sale. And here's the thing, too, is what they're doing right now. It's one of the biggest reasons to go over there. If you spend $500, Yuval's going to make a bed for a kid that needs a bed. There are so many kids right now out there that need it. And that's just ridiculous. The kids need a place to sleep, need a bed to sleep on. Everybody should have a bed to sleep on. So be part of the solution and by going to Texas Mattress Makers. And when you and I say spend $500, it ain't easy to spend $500 over there. Although they do have, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but mattresses get up to $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 for a mattress. Yeah, they get that high. Well, at Texas Mattress Makers, those same mattresses are about half the price. I mean, literally half the price. And that's without the sale. So if you're looking for the best bed at the best price, it's not even arguable. It's Texas Mattress Makers. TexasMattressMakers.com, 5026 East 3rd Street, 4619 Navigation, corner of Lockwood and in Katy. Like I said, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy. You're looking for the best sleep at the best price. Texas Mattress Makers.
Now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Dallas Keuchel. What are you guessing he gets out there in free agency?
It depends on how desperate a team is. I mean, he does not have a great body of work over the last 2 to 3 years. He had one really good half season. He has consistently had issues in the first inning, which is not good if you're a starter. He's 30 plus.
He's 30 plus, but he's a proven number two a great team.
I would say he's currently a number three on a great team. I do not think he's a number two. He was a number two on this great team.
But he was on the World Series team, on the winning team.
At what point did you think Dallas Keuchel looked like a proven number two this
year? He was their ace until Verlander came, and then he was their number two.
But he's not been an ace since the first half of the season. He wasn't an ace the second half of last year. He wasn't an ace the first half of this year. He wasn't an ace the second half of this year.
No.
He's not an ace. I don't even think he's a number two on a below average team. An average to below average team.
Well, there are plenty of those out there, so they could use a Dallas Keuchel. And it ain't nothing to give $20 million a year anymore.
No, I don't. I just don't think it's. I don't think it's really smart money necessarily. Dallas is not a guy who throws with any velocity either, which is in this strikeout heavy league. I think that's a concern because it's a league of strikeouts and home runs. Well, it'd be nice if he was one of the ones striking people out with some velocity. CC Sabathia. This is from Bleacher Report. CC Sabathia is more than a decade removed from his 07 Cy Young. We'll celebrate his 39th birthday in the middle of next season. Maybe you want to count Clayton Kershaw. But after he and the Dodgers agreed Wednesday night to extend the deadline for him to opt out of his contract, it seems more and more likely he'd rather just stay where he is. Keuchel will turn 31 on New Year's Day. He won his Cy Young only 3 years ago. There's a good chance he'll leave the Astros as a free agent this winter. And while he hasn't been in the Cy Young conversation since 15, he did have a 3-2-3 in 20 starts from June 16th to the end of the season. He also, and that's, now, I think it's worth pointing out, that's what's considered like the selling point, is he had a 3-2-3 for 20 starts, you know. I mean, it's good. I don't know that I'm getting excited about giving $20 million to a guy who had a run of 20 games where he was a 3-2-3, but that's fine. He also went 5 innings in his 2 postseason starts, giving up 2 earned runs on 4 hits each time. By today's standards, those have to count as quality starts, right? Only 4 pitchers made at least 2 starts this October and finished at least 5 innings in each of them. 2 of those, Verlander and Gerrit Cole, were Keuchel's teammates, yada, yada, yada. Eovaldi is one of the hardest throwers in the game with a fastball that averaged 97 in 2018, according to StatCast. Keuchel's fastball averaged 89.3 miles an hour, which may once have been considered average, but ranked 298th amongst starters. An era where nearly every hitter's is trying to lift the ball, Keuchel was the only starter who got twice as many ground balls as fly balls, according to Fangraphs. In an era where managers are hesitant to let starters go deep into games, he was one of only 13 starters to pitch at least 200 innings. So those are the things that really, you know, that
Scott
Boras will be selling.
He's not a strikeout pitcher, and you don't have to throw 100 miles an hour. Last year, I think it was a wake-up call with Arrieta, how long it took him to sign, and then he wasn't even happy about, you know, he went to Philadelphia. Remember, he had issues early on there and was screaming in the locker room. I think Dallas Keuchel, it might take a little bit of time. Before somebody goes, you know what, we're going to give this guy big money. The 17.9 qualifying offer that the Astros are going to give him is interesting, I think. Whether or not, though, he's not going to take just that one $18 million deal and he's going to go for, you know, a longer-term guaranteed money, that's probably going to be the case. Or maybe the Astros come to terms with him. I don't know. I don't know about $18 million, 17.9. I think they're offering him that knowing he'll walk because he wants a long-term deal. and they're going to get a compensatory pick.
Danny Nobler, who wrote the article, said Keuchel was a 5-inning guy in the postseason, but he was a 6- or 7-inning guy for much of the season. I love how we're talking about that a 6-inning guy is considered like it. Can I get a thumbs up emoji, guys? 6 innings, that's pretty good. Like, that's ass. I don't ever care about a 6-inning guy. Don't try to sell me on a $20 million 6 or 7 inning guy. Our standards are lowered in sports, just like in society, how we love to lower standards. What this is what we're talking about. He was a 5-inning guy in the postseason. That was pretty good, right? And he was 6-inning in regular season, which is amazing. No, it's not amazing. None of that's amazing.
Yeah.
And he said, even in the era of openers, initial out getters, and bullpen games, that should be worth quite a bit. He said, you know, there's no reason he can't be that, a 6- or 7-inning guy for whatever team he signs for. And his point is, he should get paid on the market. Even though it says Dallas Keuchel is the prime Cy Young winner being ignored entering free agency. So I guess he means ignored by media types and not by teams. I would argue that I don't know that Dallas, it isn't going to matter. I don't think Dallas Keuchel is going to be a red hot name in free agency. We'll see a sports map. Stick around if you want to keep listening. But I do think that there's going to be somebody who overpays for pitching forever. That will forever be the case. But I don't think I think Dallas Keuchel will appeal to two teams. Teams who just need a pitcher and they're willing to overpay, or teams who feel like they're close and they want the Dallas Keuchel for the last 20 games of the season to be their third starter. Of the three, to be either number two or number three. That's who I think he will appeal to. Teams who are already pretty good, who hope to add to their starting pitching. But what are you doing? How long is the Dallas Keuchel contract going to look? Is it going to? It's going to be a minimum of four,
I would assume. It's got to be four. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, that's not Astros.
No, it's not Astros. I do not believe there's any way.
I think three would be Astros if the price was right. I think they would give him three.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, if you told me 3 at 20, it's more than I'd want to pay, but I'm trying to guess if the Astros would do it. And I think they would consider it depending on, I mean, this is obviously depending on how quickly Corbin Martin and Forrest Whitley and what do they think of Fromber. I mean, you know, you'd have to know what they think of some of the young pitchers. If they think
Josh
highly
James,
of him,
Forrest
Josh
Whitley, James,
what you think of Josh James, if you think he's a starter or not.
Well, Eovaldi's a starter. He's humping it up at 100. I mean, yeah, I think they think that Josh James is a long guy, not a close. And I don't know. He looks like a closer to me.
He looks like a potentially dominant closer.
But look at Eovaldi. He's another 100 mile an hour guy, and he's a starter.
But he can keep it there for. I mean, he can go some innings for you.
Yeah. So is that Josh James? What innings for him?
Josh James was losing his by the third inning. His four miles an hour off the fastball. Wouldn't you rather have Josh throwing 100? Every game?
Yeah.
I mean, he's Aroldis Chapman, right?
I don't know that he lost 4 miles. He hadn't pitched for a while. And
he was
he
97 in the third inning. He was 101 in the first inning. He worked in the game three?
Yeah.
And then he went down to 97.
That was after he had a month off. I mean, so because he didn't throw at all. He didn't throw at all.
But he was hitting 101 on the gun.
I know, but that was after a month.
How strong his arm is.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe baseball's changed into it's all about 5 and 6 innings now. And if that's the case, then yeah, Josh James has to be considered a starter. I just see a guy that can ruin people when he comes in. Like, if you can't hit a fastball, you can't hit Josh James. It's that simple. You're not going to be able to hit 101 up in the zone. You can't. But he's got a nasty second pitch off of that and even a third pitch. I mean, that to me looks like dominant closer stuff. But his stuff in the postseason was much nastier than Osuna's, right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think he was even close.
Yeah. 858 ESPN 97.5. Raheel joins us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't you go anywhere. I want to tell you how to brush your teeth. Yeah, that's right. You're not doing it right. Okay? I'm doing it right.
I was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong.
You see? Okay, I can admit it, though. You just can't, okay? So here's the deal. Here's the deal is if you're looking for a way to actually brush your teeth correctly, I was using it this morning, as a matter of fact, and I'm thinking, how awesome. When you're in your left upper quadrant, right? And then it, you know, for 30 seconds. And 30 seconds is longer than you think it is, and then it'll like stop for a millisecond. And then it will, you know, start up again, and you go to the other quadrant, and then it stops. And then you go to the other quadrant, and it teaches you how to brush your teeth. And then it turns off. After 2 minutes, it turns off. And you're and also you're supposed to brush your tongue and do all those things. And you just don't think about that, but brushing your teeth correctly. But when you do it correctly, your mouth is clean and fresh and wonderful, and your teeth are getting brushed the way they should. And that's what Quip does. Electric toothbrush, you'll love it. It's inexpensive. The first refill is absolutely free. Every 3 months, they're going to send you, for $5, they're going to send you all the new brush and paste. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. It's a great, great product. GetQuip.com/ESPN975. GetQuip.com/ESPN975. What do you leave without?
No. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.